Hello and welcome to the Cybersecurity Insider. My name is Igal Behar. Today, I'm going to continue and talk about a case study with a customer that came to us with the Office 365 breach. I described this case about a month ago, and as a customer, I got an email with an invoice to pay, I think about $30,000. So they cut the check, and the check was missing only the signature of the business owner, the president, and he didn't recognize it. And he said, well, I don't recognize this invoice. And they decided to open an investigation. They contacted me and said, okay, we need this is to figure it out what happened. So after 2 months, we came with some conclusion and we found problems with the Office 365. We found problems on the computer network and also because people now working from home, it also warrant to look at those computers at home and see what kind of vulnerabilities are there, or where are those weakest link in the chain. So now a little bit history about this customer. We started with speaking with him back in 2017. And back then I told the customer, well, you know, you need to have some sort of monitoring on the network. So to speak, to have an eyes inside the network and see what's going on. About a year later, they contacted me and said, well, we need you because we had an employee that was snooping around, starting to do different things that not necessarily supposed to be with the company goals. Let's put it this way. And it cost them hard dollars, about $1 million. And then it also cost them with about I think $500,000 in soft costs, you know, with employee walk time and everything. So the cost was very heavy in addition to delays. And then because they had to go there, now they have a Salesforce implementation, cloud application. And I told the customer, okay, you know, we did the investigation back then and said, okay, the customer, this employee, and he was back then the CTO. And after looking at his workstation, we found many things that didn't seem to be the appropriate use of a computer on the network. He was using a dark web browser, the Tor browser, and he was looking, using email services. He was using other hosting services to have websites for his own business. So he was using company provided devices in order to do his, I would say business, run his own on the side business. And so this is what happened with them. And later on, then 2 months ago, they came again because they had their Office 365 breach. So back then, and I described this in my closing letter to the customer, and I said, you know, you had since 2017, we had two events, major event. One, you had an insider, the cost was very high. And then you had two CEO frauds where they cut an email, they saw how actually the customer work, how they, the moving pieces between the employees, how they send the invoice and who gets to approve it. So they saw the process for a while, and then they send them an invoice as somebody sending the invoice from the inside. They got the password somehow, we don't know how, and they were able to send an email because they discovered that they were using an old signatures, and apparently they were able to log into the portal.office.com with that user and send those invoices. They actually, they said two invoices, one was 30K, the other one was 150,000. So now we are coming to the point where we told the customer, okay, you know, with all those things, and in addition, we found other problems with your existing network. And what we found was that they had, we found during our investigation, we found a few things. We found that they have dark web actors trying to access a server that they set up. They're using SSH server to accept Salesforce information. And I told the customer, right almost in the beginning, you have that activity on the network. Somebody is trying to access your SSH server. And at some point they will be able to get in. Now we are lucky because we found that this is happening. So there's two issues. The first issue to begin with was that somebody decided to have that server, the SSH server, located internally on the internal network. So you have the internet, and then you have the firewall, and then here below you have your LAN. So they decided to place that server on the LAN. And this is not the way how to expose external services. You need to open a DMZ and you let all the information go to the DMZ. And then from the LAN, you pull the data from the SSH server inside. You don't push the data. You pull the data to you because you want to control the data, control the data flow from outside to the inside. So this is what we found. Later on, also we found that they had a weak Office 365 authentication. They were using SMS. I said, guys, you need to change it. You need to use the app, Microsoft 2FA. So they changed it. So now we increased the security. And of course, they had mixed roles. So the guy that was managing the Office 365 was using, he had the admin role, global admin role, as well as his email address on that account. So I said, okay, you need to separate. This is one. And then there's another person, few other persons that they had the same thing. They had the admin role with their email account. You need to separate this. So this is another major issue, because if you're able to penetrate the email address, now I have admin rights on the entire Office 365 installation. And then, of course, we found a multi-login from multiple locations. So with that, we found all those issues. Now, the customer told us, you know, obviously, from after all those 2 months, you didn't find how he proposed it to say smoking gun. Well, we found smoking gun on your network. And then I said, you know, we couldn't find the additional information or exactly the smoking gun that you're looking, because during the time that it happened, everybody is working from home. So it might be that specific user was using his home computer. We don't have any visibility to that computer, or that person might be working from his parents' computer or from another friend, girlfriend, boyfriend, you know, whomever, and then might be also using a Wi-Fi network. I don't know, you know, there's so many options here that they might be able to use another device that we don't have any visibility. And actually we didn't have any kind of ability to investigate those devices and come with something that, as the customer was looking, something more concrete. However, later on, we introduced another development with this customer. As they were going this investigation, they said, okay, you know, we are now looking to add IP phone, VoIP. And the company that provided the VoIP system said, okay, Mr. Customer, you have your firewall, that's fine, just give us a public IP. We are going to have our box, and that box will go parallel to the firewall and will go directly to your LAN, to your network. So And we'll give provide the IP, we'll give the tagging to the voice over IP phones, and you're gonna provide the untagged IPs to the rest of the network, to all the computers. So I said, guys, this is, I understand you need it for quality of service, you need to manage it, you need whatever you need to do on the phones, but you are bypassing the security. I said, can you give me any kind of assurance that your box is going to be safe and nobody will be able to penetrate that box? Because I told the customer, you know, once you have this box in parallel, we know now that those dark web actors will now go after that box as well. This is something that, you know, you don't need to be a genius, you don't need to be a security expert to kind of predict that move or next move to those actors. And if they are successful with penetrating that box, that VoIP box or PBX, they will be able to change the settings on the LAN and now have a direct access to your system, to your data, to everything, to the network, because now you change the tagging. So they'll be able to be there. It's not a big problem. You create a trunk over there and now you are there. It's not so complicated. So in the end, they said, okay, you know, it's probably what you're saying is probably the right thing. Okay, we're going to have the phones, only the phones connected to the network, and we won't have the box in parallel as long as you can give us a bandwidth or manage the quality of service and assign for us a specific bandwidth to the phones. I said, well, it's possible with the existing firewall. It's not an issue. We have other installations even without giving any priority or assigning a specific bandwidth to the phone systems, but it still work with no issues and everything is fine. And, you know, this is not an issue. So, and then later on, we introduce other things that they need to do, like they need to have a backup system. They need to backup the Salesforce information. They need to do risk assessment for the Salesforce. I mentioned all of those. And it seems like they, whatever we said, it's like didn't make any change to the customer mind. They didn't see all those findings as a smoking gun, as an issue. And in one of the conversations, previous conversations, the CTO, the current CTO said, well, you know, we can use malware bytes and call it a day. I said, well, you can use malware bytes, but however, I don't see that this is going to help you, because malware bytes and all those solutions, actually, they are not so advanced. They're not going to look at changes that are made on the system. And I was more referring to kind of behavior. If you move literally from one computer to another computer, let's say using RDP or using PowerShell or using PSExec, and moving in the network from one computer to another computer, malware bytes won't be able to detect it. You need something more advanced than those solutions. So the customer decided, well, if we're gonna accept your recommendations to have an advanced monitoring on our network, we're gonna need probably to double the amount, because now we have also people working from home. I said, well, this is the cost of doing business. There's no other choice here. You're gonna need also to monitor those devices as well, or provide your own devices. So they apparently rejected, this is funny, they rejected everything, whatever we said. They rejected everything that we showed them, and everything was documented, and they decided to reject it. And I said, you know, this is one thing I want to tell you, that why I wrote the whole thing, this closing letter, because I said, I want to have a record that we talked about the increased exposure and the increased risks, and you have decided to do whatever you see fit. This is how I ended my closing letter, because I saw that there is no, you know, nobody's listening on the other side, apparently. So with that, I'm going to conclude this session. So everybody that joined and saw this episode, thank you for watching. This is Igal Beha from the Cybersecurity Insider. I hope really that you won't do those mistakes and believe that doing nothing or doing, I don't know how to say it, but using tools that cannot help you and services that cannot help you to protect your data, your employees, the software, whatever you're using. And you need to do a little bit more than that. So I wish you success. Be safe. Thank you. This is Igal Beha from the Cybersecurity Insider. And I am going to stop the recording now. Thank you. And enjoy the rest of your day.